Blog Talk Radio.
Sherlock.
Magical.
Sorry for the delay. We had some technical difficulties. Anyway, today is Sunday, April the 24th. I'm Giovanni Brusto, founder of PopGlitz.com, broadcasting live out of the nation's capital. I'm here with executive producer at 1014 Productions out of Atlanta, Dre Cruz, and Fort Lauderdale rapper DJ Grayson Jubilee. How are you guys doing?
Chilling. I just woke up. I was spinning all night. So I was tired as hell, but I'm straight.
Understood. Glad you made it. Welcome, Dre.
Thank you.
Yep, glad to have you. Have you back? You haven't been on for this season, but I know we did a show. I think last year. Yes. So let's get started. Now, the last time I had Grayson on, we discussed Caitlyn Jenner and her ability to make Kris Jenner scream since Kim said her mother had lots of loud sex growing up. Anyway, Caitlyn just wrote a blog post basically rebuking every state proposing laws that are allegedly against gays. One of them cited was Mississippi allowing businesses to choose whether or not they want to serve gays or not. Another was the right to use the restroom based on whatever gender you associate yourself with. So first, tell me what you think about businesses picking whether or not they want to serve gays or not. Dre, I'll start with you.
Just reading the article, the whole Caitlyn thing right now is just really, it's taken me aback because it's just been a shock. I know I'm not the only one, you know, America as well. But looking at the whole scheme of things, to me, if that's what you identify with, I think that that's the bathroom that you should be able to use, you know. And it's just funny how Caitlyn is now completely flipping her views based on her newfound, you know, acclimation with the LGBT community. So I'm kind of still on the fence about it. I don't know how to take it.
And Grayson, what do you think about like either businesses being able to pick and choose who they want to serve?
To be truly honest, I mean, I never really quite understood the whole point of even having restrooms for a separate sexes in the first place, because they're bathrooms, they're not locker rooms. I don't think it's a big deal. I never thought it was a big deal. No, I've never walked into a bathroom and seen anybody naked. I've never gotten that much action. So, I mean, I don't see what the big deal is about it. It's a place where you go and piss. That's it. I don't know. So I never really actually respected it. I go to whatever bathroom I feel like, and I've always been that way, hell, because is that even illegal, or is it just like some, or is it just frowned upon?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure in certain places the police will haul you out of there.
By the time the police get there, my bladder will be drained and I'll be on my merry way. So.
Oh Lord.
Yeah. And then
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, I was saying as far as just taking it back to going into a woman's bathroom as a man, that thought has never crossed my mind, because I know that if I walk into the women's restroom, there might be a woman in there, and they're going to look at me like you're in the wrong place. But, you know, how would that relate to, you know, if I was born a man and looked like a woman? Would it, you know, that's the issue. Is it still, you know.
Hey, I was not prepared for his response, all right, about just going wherever he felt. If one is not available, I mean, if the men's restroom isn't available, that might be a little bit of a different story.
But no, but it's like above that. I'm going where there's a one or shorter line and two what's cleaner. So the female bathroom cleaner, that's where I'm going. If the male bathroom got and the female got a long line, I'm going to the male. Above that, I'm going to piss, man. Nothing really deep about it.
Well, please don't go to jail over this.
I tell you, when the police come, I would have already pissed. But as far as being able to discriminate, that's crazy. I mean, that's crazy. But as far as business and not wanting to serve gay people, you know, I get it. Like, it sucks that people even will want to do that. But if you can't even respect me, like, as a person or individual, then you damn sure not going to respect my money. So I'm not even going to give it to you. So I don't even want to patronize a place that has that type of environment. Why would I give you my hard-earned ducats? For you to call me a faggot behind my back, man, nuts to that.
Well, you know, I've discussed this a few times with some people, and I feel like you're the only other gay person who has agreed with me on that. Like, I think, again, it sucks that we are going there, but, hey, if you want me in your establishment, I don't have to be in there. And
that's fine. I can meet my rainbow money out of it.
But here's the sad part about it. If you think about the people who are actually doing it, Walmart is not going to do that because obviously, you know, money is going to be lost. They're too big of a company. They kind of know better. Target isn't going to do it. McDonald's isn't going to do it. It's only small mom and pops who don't know any better.
Listen, let's be real about it. When it comes to little things like that, little operations like that, it's the same way. It's the same thing with like politicians. It's the same way with like just older people. We're just waiting for most of them to die. So I'm pretty sure we just give this a hardcore 15, 20 years. The people who still can, mom and pops who can still pull us out of BS, they'll probably be dead. We don't have to worry about it anymore. Now, it sounds so morbid, but it's like if by this point your mind hasn't changed, we're just waiting for you to change back to dirt, pretty much.
I mean, I don't even want them to change. Like I said, if you want me here, I don't have to be there. But, again, no one of any significance is going to be banning a group of people from coming in their establishment because it just doesn't make fucking economic sense. You're in business to make money. And turning away a group of people –
it's really like a catch-22.
I mean, turning away a group of people does not solve anything. And you learn business 101. You leave politics and religion out of business and that it's going to spell trouble. Otherwise, and this is a perfect example of it. Go ahead, Dre.
Yeah, I really think it's like a catch-22. That you have to look at it from both sides. I do understand because discrimination has been in this country. You know, we basically started looking at it like back to civil rights days. You know, establishments that you know, big company establishments, Woolworths and places like that, they wouldn't serve black people. So now it's kind of turning into that same, you know, thing as far as it relates to gay people, which is a form of discrimination. So even like with the Chick-fil-A thing, when we're more powerful in numbers. So if we all stick together, and I'm agreeing with you both, as far as not patronizing, not giving money, they will start to feel the effects of what the decisions that they're making are.
Yeah, you can pass whatever law you want, but just know that there are consequences to doing it. And I guarantee not many other places are going to try and pull what Chick-fil-A did because I was in support of it. You know, hey, this is what you all want to do. You have locations all around the country. Good luck with that because there's going to be backlash. And they saw it. I mean, they were made a national example. And not many companies want to go through that. I mean, you have to pay PR people to fix your image. And they're still being talked about and used as an example for that.
Yeah.
Now, Dre, I don't think you had addressed picking and choosing what bathroom you want to go to. You know, that's a topic of discussion. These days, what do you think? Do you think people should be able to go to where they feel they associate themselves?
I mean, that it's such a touchy subject. If that's a mental thing to me, to not feel like you were born in the right body, it's a mental thing. So like when you look at a person visually, you see this. Like I said, you know, if I was to walk into a female's bathroom as a man, looking as a man, what would the reaction be? And that's the whole, that's my whole issue, is the reaction.
Key word is looking like. That's
looking, yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So now they're talking about, you know, well, what if I'm the woman and I'm sitting in the bathroom and I see a pair of men's shoes in the next stall? Would that alarm me? And it's like, there's not going to be a transgendered person that's dressed as a man wearing men's shoes in the women's bathroom. That's not what the issue is. You know, so I think that all bathrooms should just
That's how they see it. Well, I was trying to think of a normal solution to this because I saw Bill O'Reilly, Fox's Bill O'Reilly, said that every government building should have a third restroom for transgender people, and he said that should solve it. And I said, well, he had good intentions there, but I don't think that that's what they want. I think that, they're not going to settle for that. No, they want to be able to go in to where they feel that they should. But here's my other thing. If your thing in life is that you want to be another gender, and then you're going to make the effort to look like it, to dress like it, et cetera, so by the time you walk in, if it's a man, by the time you walk into a woman's restroom, nobody's going to know the difference. And nobody's going to argue with you or fight you for it. So if that's the case, and people do it now, if that's the case, then why do we need legislation to let you walk into a bathroom if you're already making the effort to pass for that gender? That's the part that I don't get. I mean, because if someone does walk inside of a women's restroom with men's shoes, they're going to say something out of possibly fear that something might happen. I don't really blame them for that. To be honest, I mean, you know, folks get raped, et cetera.
What are they scared of? I just don't get it. If someone can explain to me what they're scared of, like, what are they scared of?
A predator being attacked, all of that.
Who gets raped? I'm not saying that it does not happen. Who the hell's getting raped into it? Who the hell's getting raped in the bathroom in a government building? Who's getting raped into that bathroom at Applebee's? Effing nobody, okay?
I don't know.
Like,
I mean, that's
it's
opening up the opportunity.
That's fuck shit. Let me tell you why that's fuck shit. Because when you go to the bathroom, do you like put your fingerprint in and go male, female? You may enter. Hell no, it's a door. If someone wants to rape you, they can walk the fuck in there. Ain't not gonna stop them. It's a door. A door don't stop shit. It ain't a lock on the door. It ain't somebody letting you in the door to make sure you're a man or a woman. If a woman goes into a woman's bathroom and a man wants to rape her, he will go in the woman's bathroom and do it. It don't matter if because she's in the man's bathroom. That's a fucking stupid-ass way of thinking. This is a dumb-ass, like, even debate. It's a bathroom. It's where you piss and relieve yourself. Ain't nothing sexual about it.
Well, that's
bathroom.
That's their concern. I mean, not necessarily mine. I'm just saying that's the way that... That's the way that they look at it. But as I said, I don't think that we have to change anything if you are a man and you are trying to make an effort to look like a woman and you're going to go inside, as they do. They go inside every day and nobody knows any difference because they look like.
They need to be changed on all the bathrooms. They need to, whether they say male and female, they need to be changed to bathroom and bathroom too. And when nobody talks about it.
They don't want their own bathroom because that's a form of discrimination. Again, white, black, you know, trans. Like, it's no point to decipher that. Just change
that. And
that
has been discussed, like, all the way up until, like, high school, you know, X number of years ago, not that many, where they were talking about putting those bathrooms back then. And there were some that were for it. I don't see why. I know that they, you know, want to fit in with the other gender, but like I said, hey, if you're making an effort to actually pass for that group, then go inside and be done with it. I just don't think it takes any extra legislation, but I think it's just something for the gay lobby to fight about. That's all. I really don't even think that. I personally don't think
that
this has to be a legislative debate. I don't think it's necessary. And people, even if they did add a third bathroom, people are going to be fighting about that. And to
so if you do trans bathrooms, they have to have like trans man and trans women bathrooms, right? Or
no, it's supposed to be a slash. It's supposed to be just a slash. It's like man slash woman. And that's like just as bad.
Trans women and men's bathrooms. Because that's extra. I mean, it'll just, it's always going to be something. It's going to be like, you know, and I'm not trying to say, like, they're fighting for, you know, we want to be accepted too. We want to be accepted too. That's what it comes across as at times to me. You know, like,
yeah.
Well, why I want that too. I want that too. Well, I want my own dressing
well,
room. You know, I want that too.
Like I said, that's themselves, society.
So why not we just save all the bathroom? So how about we just make one bathroom, one person at a time, take your time. When a person come out, you go in. And then the other bathroom could be for people who just simply don't give a fuck. He didn't go when he wants to.
That's not a bad idea. That's the greatest solution.
Okay. I like that
okay.
idea.
I'm going to leave that alone. Okay. So, moving along. Now, here's something that something unprecedented that happened this week. The $20 bill is getting a do-over with abolitionist Harriet Tubman replacing Andrew Jackson on the front. This, of course,
Get one of them Tubmans.
You're not going to get one until at least 2020. I think that's when they said that the new look will even be revealed. I mean, look,
that's
as in
okay.
not
I
even printed.
Hey,
okay.
That's
they
all right.
They won't be in circulation until 2020. So, like, you know, when they say that, they'll be the old 20 will be have completely died out by 2020. So they're going to start putting some out there. But by 2020, the old 20 should be completely gone. Like, you know, the old $5 bills and $10 bills. To find one of those is like, oh, look at this. Like, you know, it's like finding a needle in the haystack. So they're going to be out there. I just don't like the fact that they're still going to keep Andrew Jackson on the bill. From reading from the article, they're going to put him on the back. So it still gives a slave overseer to me, you know, like I'm still back here watching you, you know, nigga. So
I didn't think about that. That's funny.
I didn't think about that.
Well, here's the other funny thing. Yeah. Like, well, but this is a woman who was traded for money. And so to put her on an actual piece of currency, isn't that kind of like offensive in and of itself? Doesn't it kind of contradict the point?
Boom.
That's like another way of looking at it.
It's actually like that is the you used to be
the equivalent of Amber Rose.
Now you're on this.
The equivalent
like
of Amber Rose
like
and her slut walk.
Me, you know, all, like Nanny Boo Boo. Now you need me to purchase stuff, and you used to use this to purchase me. So it's kind of like that's a boss move for her. Yeah, that's a real boss move for her.
Now,
yeah.
Ben Carson said that perhaps she should be on. Something we should find another way to honor her, such as putting her on a $2 bill instead. And my response to that is that the $2 bill is just as obsolete and irrelevant as he is these days. Any thoughts on because there were people who felt that it just wasn't appropriate to remove a U.S. president and add someone else. In his place.
I'm on Javon Short. Coffee Short.
Now, others say that political correctness took over here by putting her on the front, saying that black issues are more important than anyone else's in America. You know, some said, well, where is the Asian leader or the Indian leader that's going to be?
I'm sorry, we have
a
history of
bill.
We have a history of 400 years of Asian slavery in this country. Oh, awesome.
Thank you.
Okay.
This is America.
I learned something new. Oh, there are like
America.
A billion. Aren't there like a billion something Asians and like only like a, like not even, and then like not a billion Americans? So, I mean, yeah, the Asians have their debate.
Let them put their people on their money. We'll put our people
on their money. They got lots of it. They make almost every product for every place in the damn world, but y'all can put your face all over that. I wouldn't care.
Just say that I'm in support of replacing Andrew Jackson and not even so much of who's replacing him. I'm agreeing with you. That's what I said. I said I'm in support of replacing Andrew Jackson and not so much because of who's being replaced with, but he could be replaced with Daffy Duck, as far as I'm concerned. He started the Democrat Party. He's most known for being rewarded for his attempt to get rid of an entire race of people, Native Americans. He was the country's first bona fide racist, is what I call him. In my opinion, proving Democrats are racist from day one. But the irony is putting that it was Democrats who were petitioning to put a black Republican on the front. So that's kind of ironic. And again, just taking Andrew Jackson off, a slave owner and someone who that's basically his biggest accomplishment, killing off an entire race. I say good for them.
Good. Yeah, real good. I mean, well, keep going.
And something
else. Benjamin Franklin. Shit.
Well, for those who feel like she wasn't a good choice to go on, because they're supposed to be adding some more female leaders, I believe, to some other bills. If we did not put Harriet Tubman on the front of a bill, I think the people probably wouldn't, like, know who she was, like this younger generation. So it takes doing that just to try and teach history, because they see it every day. I mean, we know that our public school system is one of the worst in, well, not the worst, but pretty bad compared to the rest of the world.
You know what's crazy? Because I can guarantee you, because I asked a few people, like, who hadn't heard about the change yet. I asked, who's on the $20 bill? You know, about 4 out of the 8 people I asked, like, I don't know, some white man. The younger generation, yeah, it's true. A lot of them seems like they don't know shit, but I guarantee you that they know a little bit more about Harriet Tubman than Andrew Jackson.
Almost
because
definitely.
She's one of those basic figures.
Some people, there are some older people, you know, that don't know who Harriet Tubman is, which is surprising. I actually know this white lady that she didn't know who Harriet Tubman was, and she's in her, what, 40s, 50s? She was like, who's Harriet Tubman? She seriously didn't know who she was.
Hey, how you doing?
Like, you know, when I found out, I just couldn't understand, like, you know, what? Somebody doesn't know who she was, so it's just interesting.
If I recall correctly, he said that more black people know who she is. Well, if I recall correctly, didn't Portia Williams, the Real Housewives of Atlanta, not know about the Underground Railroad? You know, didn't she say
she
it was like a physical train?
Yeah, she knew about it. She just knew about it as a physical train. She knew she had heard of it, just a totally wrong way.
That's wrong.
So it was
that's
wrong. Yeah. No, she embarrassed the hell out of me. I was embarrassed for her.
Yeah, that was good.
Because I said, wow. They ain't hurt you, because it's like, if your granddad is a civil rights leader, I ain't saying you got to be the go-to for all black history information. I'm just saying, when you learn about black history, that's like the second thing they teach you.
Okay.
And that being every slave, that being every black history, a play, every black history, T-shirt, almost every black history song. Why don't you know that? I just got goosebumps because that was so dumb.
She'll never live it down.
She don't deserve to.
That's part of the reason why she's divorced. Who wants to be known for being married to the woman who thought that the Underground Railroad was involved in actual physical train?
She was serious too. Like, I just
she was serious. It wasn't a brain fart. It wasn't. She just seriously believed growing up in her life.
That was like the Jessica Simpson chicken of the sea, the tuna, when she thought it was actual chicken.
Mm-hmm. That's a joke.
But see, Jessica Williams had pictures. Jessica had pictures to throw her off. She had pictures and creative title to throw her off. Because that chicken of the sea, you know, if you're not really aware of what's going on, you might get confused. Because
really?
That tuna ain't all that. Tuna is kind of chicken. It is kind of tough.
I'm not going to say anything. Moving along. All right, guys. It's almost that time. For the man that brought us the trial of the century, O.J. Simpson, to be released from prison.
I'm ready.
O.J. is said to be released next year, and rumor has it he has his eyes set on Kris Jenner. Now, the stories have always been that she was having an affair with him while married to his attorney, Robert Kardashian, in the 90s. if anything, that explains the family's obsession with black men. But sources say when he gets out, he wants to get with her and is hoping for his own reality spinoff. Dre, do you think the country's ready for an O.J. Simpson reality show?
Now, look, whatever network touches that pilot, that treatment, that anything, is definitely going to lose so much. First and foremost, I am in support of, you know, black men being released and, you know, like just coming back into creation, coming back into the population. But I don't think that he is thinking this through all the way. I think he needs to get some fresh air and get reacclimated back into society, because for some of the statements that he said in that article were just shocking to me. Like, I can't believe he's saying that, but then again, he has been incarcerated since 2008. So, you know, it's that mentality. He's thirsty. He's like, I'd even have sex with Caitlyn. So, you know, for you to be at that moment, I just think that it's a bad idea. It's a bad idea.
But wait a minute. Wait a minute now. Now, he might be in jail, but he's not in jail for murder. He's in jail for trying to steal his old – well, successfully stealing his old memorabilia. So it's not quite the same. I mean, yeah, people know of him as, you know, a possible murderer, but he's not a convicted one. So technically, but technically, right, even his supporters feel that way. But technically, he's not a murderer. So it might possibly it might not be that bad. I mean, there's a lot of obviously negativity around his name.
I would watch it too. Yes, most definitely.
I mean, from the man who was on film talking about If I Did It, I would love to hear him revisit that trial.
Okay.
Would you watch it, Grayson?
I'm already popping my popcorn right now. Hurry up and finish that shit up.
Just think the promotions for it, they're going to have a time, because it's going to be so much controversy. But, you know, as Americans, we love controversy. We love something really, you know, that's taboo. So,
I mean, I'm being on his side. I'm being on his side about him not being a convicted. He's not a convicted murderer.
I love it. You know why I love OJ? I love anything that makes white people uncomfortable. I love it. I love it. Because what that trial symbolized, when the one time that we won, how they be winning. And there was a first taste of it. I don't know. It was a first taste of it. Like, they cannot believe to this day that he beat that. Like, they just can't believe it. And it really took white people aback. And I just support that in general. That shit was just hilarious. Give him his spinoff. Give him a game show. Let him host a Price is Right. I don't care. Let's put OJ out there.
I mean, all of the evidence showed that he did it. I mean, but hey, I believe in following the judicial system. That was the ruling. And that's why, as I said, he's not a convicted murderer. So why not? Anyway, America loves a good comeback.
The convicted felon.
Well, let's look at some of these other people on reality TV. Look at some of these other people on reality TV.
That doesn't make him a bad person, though.
No, look, America loves – you said it doesn't make him a bad person?
Not that he's a convicted felon, no. It doesn't make him a bad person.
That might be debatable.
Okay. It made him a dumb criminal. That's all.
So look, America
left
a good comeback story. Look at Mariah Carey and Michael Jackson. I just don't know about a man most of the country is convinced to this day, some 20-plus years later, that he killed his wife. As I said, even his supporters still believe that. They were just happy to see him get off. But, hey, I'm all for the ratings. But I just have one piece of advice for Chris's new man, who's Justin Bieber's bodyguard, I think, Corey something. I would make an exit plan for the relationship in 2017 before you end up like Nicole Brown Simpson. And that's all I have to say.
Well, you know, no, Chris likes money, but she's not going to be going with no, you know, she likes money over the dick. And if they were having an affair, which I think that they were, she's definitely not going to sacrifice her you know, her criticism, who she is, to be with broke-ass O.J. Simpson, because he don't have any money, and she's about that coin.
I think that she would help produce something of his, though. I think that she would use her puppet strings just because this is a money making opportunity. Look at her entire career. I mean, is any of that good money for the last 10 years that she's been doing? I mean, a lot of people would say no.
He killed her friend. That was one of her best friends, and she was completely. She didn't even want Robert to do the to be his lawyer. She didn't want him to have any parts of it. But it's because of that trial that they are as notable as they become. So it's just interesting. I wonder what she's going to do. I can't wait.
There's this Louis Vuitton duffel bag that she's had for the last 20 years, and the Goldman family keeps requesting that she turn it in. I don't know if it's by subpoenas or whatever, but they keep asking for that bag, and she keeps refusing. So a lot of people feel that she might have a weapon or two in there, like have some evidence from her friend, because, again, that was O.J. was her friend. So that's why I said she might consider holding a couple puppet strings for a show, even if her name's not attached to it.
Kris Jenner, she is a damn genius. And this is the first time that I ever thought about this, now that she said something about that bag. If you look at it, it seems very conspiracy theory. Take away that they're famous. Just think about it like the people next door. A man is having an affair with his friend's wife. They could have actually gotten together as a conspiracy theory to kill her, and in the process ended up accidentally killing Ronald Goldman too. You never know the theories that are out there, but I never thought about that. She might be holding that stuff for him. It might have been a plan the whole time. Who knows?
Go run off with O.J. I mean,
yeah, partner.
They did allegedly have a child together, Chloe.
Oh, yeah, Chloe. Chloe is O.J. Simpson's daughter, and I don't care what nobody says. That's your daughter. That's your baby. That's your baby.
That's what people say. I'm not one to gossip.
Okay, you can look right. You can look at her and tell that she looked just like O.J. Simpson.
I don't know about that now, but I just know that she is definitely she acts nothing like the rest of the family. She's always been a complete outcast.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of his DNA is up in her. Let's just say that, because that head and all of that and that body, O.J. Simpson's DNA is in there, and she does. She looks like his other daughter.
She is built like a linebacker.
Well, maybe 2012. Before, because you know she has a new face now. She was the ogre in the family. She had that face recently redone, which she looks amazing, though. I'll give her that.
Yeah, she does. She looks good.
These days, she does, because she was giving Bear in the past. Now, pop legend Prince passed away unexpectedly this week after a bout with the flu at 57 years old. First, I have to say that I don't think anyone believed Prince was almost 60. I don't have a whole lot of memories of him, because I've never really listened to him a lot. But I've always been told since I was a kid that I look like Prince. So now I have to turn my phone off, because everyone, and I mean everyone, is calling me singing Purple Rain in my voicemail every day. Were either of you all Prince fans?
Yes, let me tell you. Okay, Prince is real good. Prince was like a musical genius. One of my favorite songs by Prince was I Would Die For You. A lot of people don't understand that I Would Die For You, you know, he's actually talking, what he's speaking about is the Trinity. You know, every verse is a part, is he's speaking from the stanza of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They play in the club right now, you're going to bend over, shake it all the way down so you can't no more. That's why Prince is a musical genius, because his lyrics, you know, his content, you know, his honesty, you know, and plus, you know, with him being a genius, he was also like halfway crazy or very crazy. We're not sure, but you know, Prince was,
aren't they all?
Was amazing. Pretty much he was everything. And you know, Prince got like music. He got music locked away that a bitch probably never gonna hear.
He
like
had
I just don't,
almost 40 albums. He like 36 albums.
And I bet he got twice that amount in. I know he got like twice that amount in just sitting out in the storage like someplace. But you know the crazy thing is, you know, the group Vanity Six, you know, which he had put on, it's crazy because the lead singer of that group, you know, died like only a couple months ago. And then it's like,
yeah,
well, damn.
Yeah.
So it's like, shit, somebody better check on Apollonia and make sure she's straight. Because they come in for all the people.
I mean, but what is the me personally, I like you, Giovanni, I really wasn't a big, you know, Prince fan because that wasn't really my generation. But growing up, I was listening to it a little bit. My mom really loves Prince, like a whole lot. But I really wasn't a big fan. I just want to know, me, like everybody else, what happened? Like, what happened? Because to not even be 60 and for that to happen to you, you have a tragic demise like that. I want to know what happened.
Here's the thing. You know, TMZ said that they came out saying that he died of a possible drug overdose. Now, and then, of course, that was what all the headlines said. But looking at what Harvey Levin said, he was saying that it was likely to be that. He never actually said that. But, of course, everyone took and ran with it. Then Bill O'Reilly did a whole show on drugs in America using Prince as an example. And I said, nobody actually said that's what he died from. He was saying that, like, the symptoms. A normal person with the flu goes up and down, like they eventually get better or whatever. He would just be up and down from a day-to-day basis, or at least just in the last week. You're not going to take 1 week of someone's life and just deem that they were like a decades long drug addict.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
See, I mean, but that's kind of where the story is going.
Well, people got to understand this thing. When people think of the flu, traditionally, a lot of people think of the flu as a bad cold. And the flu is not a bad cold. The flu kills thousands of people in America a year. Yeah. Thousands. I'm not talking about a couple hundred. No, it kills thousands. People die of the flu like nothing. So it's not far-fetched to think of people die of the flu. It's just that people generally don't think of flu as deadly, but the flu is very fucking deadly, especially the older that you get. And yes, a person with a super strong immune system, you know, typically will get better from that. But one, he was about to be 60, and two, he's an entertainer, so you know he probably doesn't sleep enough. You know, he probably doesn't eat as well as he should.
That takes a toll on your health.
Exactly.
He was
and
just
course,
dehydrated at his show on Friday in Atlanta, and I think, I don't know if he ended the show early or he had to cancel like a series of shows, but he flew back home on Friday in part for being dehydrated. Okay, I've never been a huge performer, but I have been dehydrated on stage once in high school. It was at a church of 20,000 people here. I was picked up and carried off the stage. The stage is a whole floor high. There's rooms underneath. I was wheelchaired out of the building, and for like a while people were rumoring, they're like, did he have a heart attack? Like, what happened? That's not good. Like, being dehydrated is not fun. And that was as a teenager. To experience that at near 60 is probably torture on oneself.
On a body.
So, I mean, and this was, mind you, just a few days before. So, I mean, if he had that combined with the flu, I'm sure it has been tough. Like with Michael.
Well,
I mean,
you know,
touring, you know, at a certain age is freaking hard on your body.
Yeah, you see, Janet had said that she gonna sit her ass down.
She was talking about doing that back in '97. I think it was 2000 or something when she said that was gonna be her last.
That shit hard. You see how Madonna was about to fall apart, and
well,
she has
actually fallen before.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
But he's a Jehovah's Witness, so you know how they feel about modern medicine.
Yes.
Like,
that's another thing.
They don't do blood transfusions and stuff like that. So that's probably another point. He probably like went home and just was like, you know, just like you said, don't pray for me. Save your prayers for me. Just wait a couple days.
Yeah, he did
okay,
say
so
those
he
words.
Kinda, you know when you're about to leave this place because your body, you know your body. You know your body, how old we are now. We've known our bodies, you know, 20, 30, you know, 40, mm-hmm. 50. He's known his body for over 50 years. So he knew, like,
I was
okay,
about to say, I don't know why. I don't know why you're going past 30 now.
Slow it down. Okay. Body back for another 20, 30 years. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that probably has something to do with that. Yeah.
And look, Grayson said that he was what, crazy? Something like that? I mean, again, what
genius. You know,
what,
the same thing.
Yeah, what genius does not have a little crazy in them, okay?
Oh, it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
Myself included. But listen, so he's someone who made it known that he was a legend. One of my favorite stories was he hired Questlove as a DJ once, and he kept getting sick of what he was playing. He didn't like what he was doing. He kept going to the DJ booth. He was like, play something else. Then he would, you know, switch up the song, and he would come back, and he's like, I still don't like it. You know, change it to something else. Finally, he sends his assistant over to the booth and said, and gave him a blank disc and said, play this. He puts the disc in, and it was the Finding Nemo soundtrack. So he interrupts a party to play that because he thought he was that bad as a DJ. How awful
probably.
Could you possibly be
probably.
To do that? But only Prince could do that at a party. When Prince tells you to do something, you do it with a smile on your face.
Well, Ms. Kim Kardashian thought otherwise. So she got her ass kicked off mm-hmm. that stage when he called her up there to dance, and she wouldn't dance. She wouldn't dance. She just thought she was too good to dance or something. He just said, okay, she just kicked her off the stage. So
I mean, she's always been the bore of the family. And it's like, again, you are on stage with Prince. This is a privilege. Even people who can't dance would get up there and dance, myself included.
Yeah.
You're going to waste this opportunity? Go take your plastic silicone Home Depot booty off of the stage.
Mm. That's why we don't let her do stuff. See, that's why married to a musical genius who is the same type of crazy and can't even do a two step. Talking about talentless, my God.
I can pull off a two step now.
I can pull off a draw, but she can pull off a two step.
Oh,
we do something.
Ouch.
Shoulder shimmy or something. Hey, anything. Yeah.
Okay.
Shimmy back. What the hell? Okay.
Now here's another fun part to that. So a black person passed, and it wouldn't be right unless Stacey Dash had something to say about it. I actually didn't see anything wrong with what she said. Or maybe it went over my head because I saw some backlash. I saw her when she mentioned this. She said that.
Wait, who said what?
Stacey Dash said that Prince was an amazing artist who transcended race, not someone that you think of as being black or white.
Lies.
And you disagree? What do you think?
Hell yeah.
What do you think about that?
Because the whole the term transcending race don't mean nothing. Those words don't go well. They don't go together to make a coherent statement. How do you transcend what you are? What you are? It has to be. It's not like you can be above being black. She's stupid as shit, and I'm tired of her talking.
Yeah.
Okay. Now she's trying to say that he broke down color barriers and did a lot creating an environment of diversity where people could come under and celebrate music as opposed to our differences, then yeah, that would be a coherent statement, and that would make
semantic.
Sense. But how
that
is
that was
race?
That was what she was alluding to, and again, that's semantics. And I have to remember this like my own
talk.
For my own verbiage, because that was what she meant. I mean, there are some artists who are essentially, I mean, known as a black artist. They have this particular audience, and he was, you know, just. Going over everything that she said, he had fans of all walks of life.
So does Drake. So does goddamn, what do you call it, Aretha Franklin. So does any artist. Nobody don't care about some of the biggest races listen to hip-hop. That don't mean nothing.
Yeah.
I'm just, I mean, yeah, he gets props for that. But I'm just saying, don't try to make it seem like Don't try to use like Prince's death to try to further your own agenda of creating this environment of diversity when we don't even want you represent for us as Black people.
I can't give her any footing in my life because
exactly.
She just is completely ignorant, and I just can't give her any footing. She has fallen so far beneath what I stand for that if I reach down to help her, which I normally would, I can't because she's going to bring me down with her. And she's just made such asinine comments that just don't make any sense to me. So I just can't give – I don't even say her name. I can't even give her any footing because to me she has just – she's in a realm on her own. Like out there. That's past Tick Tick Boom. That's like you just out there. You pass Pluto, you gone. So
I'm going beyond that time. I don't know if you all heard that. Now, I've been saying recently, I need to go find some old interviews of her, like from the 90s or something, just to hear how she normally talks, because my issue is I always say whenever her name comes up, as a career move or whatever, going into politics and doing commentary isn't bad. I would be fine. I'm okay with it. That is, if she were actually good at what she does. She appears very dear. She appears very dear in headlights, and that she doesn't seem prepared, and she doesn't make substantive statements. And sometimes it's like she had some memorized statement that had absolutely nothing to do with where the discussion was going. So she doesn't seem like she belongs on these panels or whatever when she speaks. If she were good at what she did, I wouldn't mind it. But she first started politics when Obama was reelected. That was almost 4 years ago, and you still don't have it right. Like, this is your number one job these days. So that is the part that irritates me. I don't know if she makes no effort to be good at it or if she just appears.
But you know what Hollywood though gonna do? I bet in about a year or two they're gonna announce watch the Sojourner True Story starring Stacey motherfucking Dash.
and try and make her into civil rights.
Exactly. She's gonna be Coretta Scott, like Coretta Scott King, somebody. Watch.
I can
you know
listen.
I do.
Hold on. Visuals. I could see her doing the Coretta. Now that would be I don't think any casting person. I don't know. I could be wrong. People don't like her. That would be.
but that's
the equivalent of, I can't think of her name, but there was a white actress who was playing an anime character, an Asian person recently. I can't think of her name.
You mean the, are you talking about the whole cast of the last Airbender movie? Because all the Asian leads were by white people. White people.
Yeah, they were by me.
Mm-hmm. In fact, now they finally know how that shit feels.
Well, here's part of it. If you're trying to make something big in America, as far as casting decisions go, we don't have a whole lot of A-list Asian stars. And if you're trying to, you know, have the lead be a big person and draw in folks in theaters, what options do we have? Lucy Liu.
You gotta pick. Like when you know you can't get it right, you gotta go unknown. You gotta pick an unknown. You have to. And you gotta pick an unknown and boost that bitch to be the next big thing. Okay, because otherwise you just look dumb. You know, we see how that Nina Simone situation turned out. It was always starting to looking like she bought that nose from a clown shop.
Oh, that's a bad.
Now they actually. No, hold on. Her family her family was actually okay with it.
Oh, no. They were not. They did not want Zoe Saldana to play Nina Simone.
Nina Simone's family did not. They were not on board. They was not on board because even then with the story they made out of it, they made the whole thing between her and her manager seem like it was a love interest thing. Listen, real life, that man was gay. Gay. And Nina Simone knew that.
Yeah.
They had no romantic relationship at all.
Yeah.
You know. But that's okay. I bet in the movie Coretta Scott King, Life Story, starring Stacey Dash, they're going to have her up there, had a lesbian relationship, you know, with Madam T.J. Walker or some bullshit. What? Okay. That's how Hollywood like to do. Because that's how Hollywood like to do.
I mean, there were stories. Now, I think I mentioned this. Maybe it was during the episode I did with you last, Grace, and I don't remember, but there were rumors of Stacey Dash being on the Real Housewives of Atlanta. I don't know where that came from. I would love to know the origin, but Andy Cohen said that that wasn't true. Now, that would actually, that would be pretty epic.
I was hoping it was. I was hoping it was.
I was praying that that one was true just because I want to know the real her. And something else, why is she always greasy? Like, every time she's on TV, she's oily and greasy. Like, she's just nervous. Like, she's sitting there under gunpoint. I don't think that production likes her because, you know, nobody's touching this lady up during commercial breaks. Why are you always sweating bullets? What is wrong with her?
She don't got no, she don't got no black home. She don't got no black home. She don't know how to do her hair and her makeup.
I mean, I'm not talking about that. I mean, she's just, like I said, she's always greasy. Like, she just climbed out of a Popeye's chicken bag or something. Yeah.
Well,
she probably wants something. I just don't care for her.
I was trying not to. That was in my head. I've heard that. I don't know.
You heard what?
About her possibly being on something.
She is. She has to be. There's no way in the world that she would come out there. What was that she came on to the Academy Awards? Say what she said. I wouldn't even agree to even do that like segment. I just wouldn't. I would be like, what am I going to get from this? Is this going to be funny? Am I trying to make this like, what was the point of it? It was pointless.
That made her the butt of jokes. I've defended her on certain things. Like I said, I understand television is not easy, but you need to like ease your way in. I feel like she was thrown in the lion's den.
She doesn't know what she's
doing. But that was a very bad decision.
She should have agreed to whatever she wanted to do this. She should have went out there and said, listen, the Academy wanted me to say some obviously racist crap to y'all, but I'm just taking the time to get my shine on. How y'all doing? I'm Stacey Dash. And she just sit there and smile till they cut her ass off. And that's what the fuck. Everybody would have lived for her for that one. Everyone would have lived for her.
I mean, that
Stacey Dash uses her time to just get pictures.
That was an awful skit. I've tried to reason this in my head. I don't know if they were trying to turn the criticism around on her, you know, and it's like, I'm going to get the laugh out of this, but nobody got the joke. Come on, girl.
It didn't translate.
It not at all. She has a book coming out, though, this summer, I think in a couple months.
A coloring book?
Well, here's the funny thing about it. She didn't write the book like it's, the book is, it's her name, Stacey Dash, with so-and-so. And the person that it's with, I believe, is the
Barney?
It's like an interview. Like, the whole thing, I believe, is like an interview. I think I shot myself in the foot by saying this. She didn't write it. And it's the interviewer. It's the other person. It's just her face on it. I want to get it. I want to know what is going through this lady's head. It's been killing me.
You tell me all about it. You read it and you tell me all about it. She says, I would not be wasting anything. Read it.
That bitch been telling y'all for about 20 years that she clueless and y'all wondering and y'all being surprised. She came out telling y'all she don't know shit.
All
right, now. Speaking of not knowing shit, Hillary Clinton appeared on The Breakfast Club this week on Power 105, where she announced to the co-host, Charlamagne Tha God, that she walked around with hot sauce in her bag. Now, whether this is true or not, or whether she was trying to use Beyonce as a joke, I didn't really find it funny. And Charlamagne, he gave her a moment to walk it back. He tried to warn her, give her a chance to clean it up, but no. She keeps on digging. Charlamagne said, I want you to know people are going to see this and say, okay, she's pandering to black people.
Ain't it?
Her response? Hold on. I want to repeat that.
That was video footage. I'm understanding that. It was video footage that was back from the 90s that she did. She carried hot sauce. This is before any of that. So that was probably
hold on. This video footage of her in the 90s carrying hot sauce. Seriously?
Yes. She carried hot sauce. Because, I mean, it's not a black thing. It's not a white thing. It's a food thing. And if people do actually carry hot sauce, I mean, we're not talking about a big 12-ounce, you know, big bottles stuck in them. No.
We're talking about
like,
the 99 cent bottle.
But wait a minute now. The reason why this is a black thing is because, again, repeating what he said, I want you to know people are going to see this and say, okay, she's pandering to black people. And her response was, is it working? And then busted out laughing. So, therefore, she made it into race. With that, she actually opened her mouth.
He did.
I think that was a bad response.
He made it a race thing.
But she agreed. She said it appears that you're pandering,
right.
And she said, is it working? Admitting that she's pandering, she openly admitted to pandering. Unless she doesn't own a dictionary, like her husband doesn't, during his impeachment trial, debating what the definition of the word is, when someone accuses you of pandering, that's not a compliment. So that was kind of a wrong response to me.
And she should have said, well, I'm going to have to pander to Congress on behalf of y'all eventually one day, so I might as well pander to y'all. I might as well start pandering to y'all now.
Hello, who's running for the presidency of the United States
exactly.
of America?
She said, I'm being presidential. I'm being presidential.
All over the place. Yeah,
I'm being presidential.
You can pander, but there are certain things that you don't say. You don't admit to the word pandering. Call it something else. I mean, you're admitting the lie.
I'm not offended by pandering. Pander to me, shit.
You need my vote, honey. So you need to give me. Oh, she carrying hot sauce. Oh, I like her. Yeah.
Okay,
she's
trying to do okay. Oh, she went to Southern Baptist Church. Oh, okay, I'm about that. Okay. Oh, she did it. Oh,
like
she was on. Mm-hmm. She went to Pendleton Bell House. I'm about that. Okay. Okay.
Well, as long as we understand that it's acting, then
hey,
good.
Donald Trump ain't even trying. He don't even try. He kissed a black baby. That's as much we gonna get from him. So I mean, hell, let Hillary carry that sauce. You know, we can buy this to the family cookout. We'll know she'll be all right.
But you said there's actual footage.
That black baby, he probably changed his lips. He probably changed his damn lips.
Give me more lips.
Hold on. So you said there's footage of her in the 90s carrying hot sauce around. Seriously?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That she's always carried hot sauce because all of that came out after that interview. That is, you know, once people find that stuff out, they'll do their research, and it's like, oh no, well this is not anything new. So when he made it that race issue by saying, well, no, you know, this is what people are going to think. Yes, some people are going to think that. Well, is it working? Okay, well that wasn't my intention in saying that I carry hot sauce. I was just, you know, letting people know. Okay, well how can I relate this to the people that are going to vote for me? You know, that was shyly intentionally done. It was like, you know, let me tiptoe real close and let me see how close I can get to the edge before I fall off.
Okay, hell, what if she had some shit like, oh, I watch Love & Hip Hop, shit. What if she had some shit
then
like that?
Then you're defying
them. She tiptoed up to the line a couple times back in when Bush was last elected in 2004. She joked that Gandhi used to run a gas station. And then she went back and apologized later. I think it was in St. Louis.
Well, Gandhi was a rapist, so it doesn't matter. Gandhi was a rapist, so I mean, what?
Gandhi was a lot of things.
He was a great man,
but you know what?
A rapist.
He left a legacy. He left a legacy. Whether it was good or it was bad, it's left. And when you see a picture of him, everybody knows that's Gandhi. Yeah.
Don't blame that lady. She just said the fuck she wanna say about Gandhi.
Okay. He was human. He was a human being. He wasn't Jesus. He wasn't perfect.
Exactly.
He was a human being, so yeah.
So if she wanna say that man worked at a Texaco, she can say that.
Okay.
Well, you know, there are consequences to our words, and that was she apparently saw the need to apologize. Afterwards,
you don't want to offend anybody.
And well, we had our Black Lives Matter asked her to apologize for the super predators remark, where, as we know, more blacks were incarcerated while her husband was in office than any other president.
Forever.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so she referred to many of those people who were incarcerated as being super predators, generally referring to the younger black children. So from one side of her mouth, she said that she admitted that this was a mistake and it shouldn't have happened, but she has stood by her super predator remark.
Well, what's the definition of super predator? I mean, I know the word super and predator mean separately, but together, what does that imply?
I mean,
because a shark, like a gray white, is a super predator. So I'm
The black kids in the street. Well, hold on. She has slightly walked the statement back, whereas her husband, because this was his bill, of course, you know, he may campaign for her, but he refuses to have his record sullied. So he's defended the statement, saying that that those kids, I think he referred to, I guess, a 10-year-old on crack going out shooting people. I'm pretty sure all the people who were incarcerated in the 90s were not 10-year-olds on crack, but referring to kids and the younger black men as being not just predators. You know, the word super means that, like, times 10. Kind of an awkward statement, but I guess as offensive as you – I don't know. You can't really think of something any more offensive. I don't know.
See, if anything, I would be more offended, not necessarily – I think that's less more racial and more issue of class. Because I think a lot of times, you know, when it comes to situations like this where – sometimes when there's more black people affected, sometimes it's not because it's black. It's because there are more poor black people. And sometimes it's targeted or poor. And I think a lot of the things that are happening in the 90s is because they were designed to affect poor people. And they didn't give a damn if you were a black, white, or Latino. They just wanted poor people to not be an issue. But would always be. But again, but racism is always sprinkled on top. So don't ever think I'm not admitting that. But
that's a class issue. It's all about the status quo. And for that to be brought to the forefront, it was a class issue. We just always have to make it a label. We as Americans put a label on everything. It's black, it's white, it's rich, it's poor, it's, you know, it's north, it's south, it's east, it's west. If we just call a thing, call it what it is right in front of you, let's help this class of people. They are super predators. Mm-hmm. People who have nothing to lose. So
exactly.
That could be any person. It could be white. It could be anybody. So when you don't have anything, you have nothing to lose. It's going to make you a super predator because you're going to prey on the people who have stuff that you want, who have something that you might want. You know, I'm going to take your car. I'm going to break in your house and steal your TV because I don't have one.
I'm going to leave this one alone with that. The only issue that I have with her is just that if you help create the problem, I don't need you to fix it. So leave it alone. I know that her husband said that he said, I predict that one of the main issues going into 2016 will be mass incarceration. And I said, oh, no shit, because this is a problem that you created. You and your wife created. And now you want to come back to fix it? No. This was your problem. Just walk away and leave it alone.
Well, you know what? This is the issue. Democrats are trying to test that situation, whereas the Republicans, and I'm going to make this strong statement, the Republicans are trying to take away all of the programs that are being put in place and have been put in place by Democrats that were to help the working class and the poorer class. You know, with welfare and different programs and school programs and you know, just after school programs and women's issues, they put those things into place to help. And now the Republicans are saying we don't need it. It's costing the country too much money. That's only going to make more incarceration, more crime, and it's going to be more people getting locked up. That's what's happening. That's why it's being predicted, because it's true. The programs they need are being pulled. So
well,
what are they going to do to make money?
One of his issues with his welfare reform was not allowing not allowing a father in the home or a man in the home. They had to be separate. So, A, you're incentivizing.
I've always had an issue with that.
If you are mass incarcerating the fathers, then we have to create programs to make up for the difference. Again, if you did not create, you're breaking it and you're fixing it. This is all on you. None of these issues occurred prior to Democrats touching it. Period. You broke the. You made a problem and now you're trying to fix it. Like I said, stop helping us. But
I just think it wasn't brought to the forefront. The problem has always been there. It's just the Democratic Party at that time thought that it would be an issue that they had to take precedence for whatever reason. Maybe it was for their own personal gain or financial gain or whatever. That's what happened. So they brought it to the forefront, and they're definitely going to be making money off of it. That's what politics is. It's just all a money game.
And
so
as for money, it was Clinton who did the number of privatized prisons exploded for those who make money off of starting a prison of their own. I don't know if you've ever seen what a prison CEO makes, and it's well over $1 million. It might be a couple million for the CEO, and for the top couple people, all of them all each make about $1 million. And at the same time, they have a quota for keeping them filled, maybe 85%, something like that. So, and actually it's a contract with the state or government that you are going to be guaranteed 85% occupancy. So what do you think is going to be done to ensure 85% occupancy? The number of crimes that were punishable up to life the number of life sentences exploded while Clinton was in office. So, again, like I said, this was an issue that he created. Both Democrats and Republicans both acknowledged that there was an issue with drugs in the 80s. And that was the war on drugs was bipartisan. They both messed up on that. But I am saying, as far as incarcerating everyone, that the way that it was done, yes, we need to go lock people up who are probably outside starting trouble. But the way that it was done was done in that's blood on Clinton's hands.
Yeah,
that's why I
said
you started a problem. I want to see you fix it.
If you break the law, you go to jail. Period.
Yes,
so
you do.
If you
don't want to go to jail,
don't break the law.
I agree. Yes, don't do it. But as for how this occurred, all these people went away. That's on him. And I'm just
they broke the law. That's not in jail. Now, we're not going to blame Bill Clinton for why they're incarcerated or why they're staying there or how they're getting there. They're getting there because they're breaking the law. If you break the law in this country, you go to jail, period. So stop breaking the law and you will not go to jail. And you can be at home with your mom and your daddy and your babies and your wife and all of that.
But for those who claim that, then it's racist. And I mean, if that's the case, if it's not an issue, why blame him for sending people to jail? Well, why do we have to let them out? Why don't you just leave everybody in? Why are we arguing to have people released? Leave them in. They broke the law, right?
It's for rehabilitation. Now,
you said they broke the law and they went to jail. Well, they went to jail to leave their ass in there to rot. Why not do that?
No, because the law is the law. When the law is broken, the consequence has a time limit on it. If you steal some milk, I stole some milk from my babies because I didn't have any money. Ask your neighbor or ask somebody for money. So you're going to go to jail for 18 months. That's fine. You get out, you don't steal milk anymore. If you do steal milk, you're going back and you're going to go for 24 months.
But
so it's all about the rehabilitation process.
But
if you're in jail or in prison and you're not fixing your life, when you get out, your life's still going to be messed up, So you got to look at the prison system. What's going on in there? They're overcrowded.
That's a system that he helped create. Like I said, the number of people who were incarcerated in that time period exploded. The time that they spent in prison exploded while Clinton was in office. That's why I said, and this is his crime bill.
No, the prison was the prison. The prison is the prison, regardless. It has nothing to do with the president.
It did change while he was in office. That's what I'm saying. His crime bill is what has been brought up for the last, like, at least 12 months. And it mentioned longer sentences and the number of offenses that would leave people in prison for life exploded under his crime bill.
Well, then that sounds like what you're saying as far as do I let him out? That crime bill is what you're explaining is that they won't be getting out for a while. They will stay in there and they will stay off the streets, which is that's good to me. But that's her husband. That don't have nothing to do with, you know, what she's going to do. She just so happy.
Well, she did go out. Well, she did go out campaigning for it. She was actually pushing for that on her husband's behalf, because people forget that she did played a role in his presidency. She campaigned for many. She campaigned for many of these things, many of the major items like NAFTA as well, which offshored a lot of jobs. She was campaigning for it.
Oh, I don't agree. I don't agree in that.
She was actively campaigning. I mean, that's a fact, at least for the crime bill. She's admitted to that. Because even that her husband, Bill, was trying to say, he was defending her statement about super predators. The super predators remark came out while she was campaigning in support of her husband's crime bill. So I'm saying she wasn't sitting around twiddling her thumbs back then. I mean, and going back to her her health care bill, she did do work. She did some work under the administration. She just wasn't sitting there waving. But I'm going to leave that one alone, since we'll likely never get off or never end the show. This show has been brought to you by our parent company, VM3 Media, your destination for all your public relation needs. I would like to thank our guest, Dre Cruz of 1014 Productions. Thanks for coming on, Dre.
Thanks for having me. I had so much fun, guys. It was nice meeting you, Grayson.
You're welcome.
Nice meeting you too, man.
So what are you up to these days? I know that you were. I saw that you were casting for something.
Yeah, we actually are casting for. We're doing the web series called Status Quo here in Atlanta, and we're currently doing the casting. We're going to be starting filming in May. And we're doing there's a bunch of different fundraisers as well. We work with an LGBT youth homeless shelter here called Lost and Found. So we do a lot of work with them. So we're doing some big things down here in Atlanta. Yeah, right now working on Status Quo. So you'll be seeing that soon.
That's good. And Mr. Grayson, you mentioned that you were spinning all night.
Oh, yeah, you can catch me. Well, I be DJing, I do my shit. I mean, every Thursday and Saturday night, I'm down here, Club Fellas, Club Bam. Every week you can catch my Gray World radio show on Mixcloud at Jubilee King B. Also, I just put out a couple of mixes and remixes of a couple songs, and so check out my SoundCloud. That's pretty much it. I'm just working on some upcoming things, getting my music shit right, DJing, working on other gigs and other opportunities, and I'm taking it as it comes. So everything's good right now, but you can find me at every place at Jubilee King B. All that's spelled regularly.
All right,
and have a great time.
Thank you, and make sure that you tune in to Pop Glitz Radio. We're live each and every Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard. And for the latest in entertainment news, make sure you go to popglitz.com.